Hare Krishna. Today we start with a new aspect of our Kartik evenings. We are here sitting in our little ashram, and every evening we celebrate the month of Damodar by doing a little aratik to Lord Damodar and chanting various prayers. And then we hear and glorify Lord Krishna and his dear associates in Vrindavan. We have already gone through the pastimes of Lord Damodar and then the Damodarashtaka. And now we would like to enter a few more of the pastimes of the Lord. The author of the Damodarashtaka, Satyavrata Muni, has ended his prayer by saying he again and again wishes to offer obeisances to the unlimited lilas of the Lord. And we read yesterday from a work of Sanatan Goswami, the Krishna Stava Lila, where in fact Sanatan goes through the different pastimes of the Lord. Whenever he finishes one pastime, or glorifying one pastime, he offers his obeisances. In this way, the book is complete with 108 obeisances to Lord Krishna. Paying obeisances is practice in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, and in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu it is stated that Krishna becomes pleased by those who offer pranami or obeisances, and not only pleased but to a degree where he says, I'm yours, I'm purchased by this. So let us approach the pastimes of the Lord from far, paying one obeisance after the other, kneeling down and praying, kneeling down and then bending down and then ultimately stretching out on the ground, because and pray that we can enter into the various deep implications and so on. The pastimes cannot be told, then Krishna did this, Krishna did that, and then Krishna did that, because the whole, let me say, essential ingredient of the pastime is rasa. That means the incredible taste which unfolds when the devotees see the pastimes of their Lord, and how they react to that, and how Krishna, when he sees his dear devotees becoming touched by his pastimes, how he reacts. It's, in other words, not just doing pastimes, it's feeling pastimes which we deal with. That makes the difference between, let us say, a stale approach, half approach to Krishna's pastime, and the full approach. The half approach is just a narration of what is going on, what Krishna does in sequential order. But the full approach is when you hear the devotees and how they begin to feel the various types of rasas which are enacted. Good. So we would start now at 6 p.m. What the Lord does at that time is revealed to us by different authors. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and so many of these wonderful devotees who have a direct perception of Krishna's pastime. I will start with the conversation. One evening, the wives of the demigods had visited Vrindavan in their airplanes. These airplanes were hovering above the ground, and they had a discussion amongst themselves. They said, Krishna and the sun have one thing or two things in common. Krishna is effulgent and so is the sun. Krishna is friendly to the lotuses and so is the sun who opens the lotuses by his appearance. The same way the lotus eyes of the devotees are opened and sometimes crying like lotus flowers when they see the astonishing pastimes of Lord Krishna. We wonder which one of them, Krishna or the sun, is more significant. And as they were discussing amongst themselves, they came to a conclusion. When you weigh with a scale two objects, the heavier object goes down, whereas the lighter object is brought up. So they said, Krishna must be more significant because Krishna is on the earth planet and the sun is high up in the air. The sun is lighter in comparison to Krishna, who is more substantial than the sun. So in this way, everyone, even the demigoddesses, began to talk about Krishna. And although the sun was laughed upon by the demigoddesses, he didn't mind, because, well, it's an honor for him to be at least considered as someone on an equal level with Krishna, that one had to find out who's more significant. And so Krishna comes back now. He has arrived with his cows in Nandagram, and he walks now through the streets of Nandabhavan. This is quite a scene. The demigoddesses were so excited seeing Krishna that they showered him with flowers moistened by their tears. Krishna glanced upwards, but his eyes were not searching for the demigoddesses who threw those petals on him. The demigoddesses in fact only assisted him so that he had some understandable reason, which was approved by the elders of the town, to look upwards. The reason why Krishna was looking upwards was because he wanted to see the beautiful Braja gopis who stood on the roofs of their houses when Krishna came down, you know, came back, to catch a glance of Lord Krishna's beautiful form. He was dressed at that time with a nice, let me say, yellowish dhoti, and his blackish form was there, but everything had an almost whitish appearance because the dust of braj was covering cloth, turban, and form of the Lord. Now, when someone comes into your view who's covered by dust, you don't think that's very beautiful. You think that's unclean. But Krishna's beauty was enhanced by the powdered dust of braj. In fact, one gopi had said to the other, "I think Mother Earth is personally embracing our Krishna. She gives him a very, very substantial hug because she has wrapped him with her earth or dust all over the body." So, when Krishna saw Nanda's palace up there on the hill, he entered through the main door and then bathed in the nectar ocean of his parents' love. Mother Yashoda had asked her husband to again and again leave the house and go to the street and see if Krishna was already coming. She had sent gopis on watchtowers to give him information, to give her information. And once a gopi said, "Mother Yashoda, he will come, he's just now coming. But what I can see from up here is that some demigods have come and looked for his audience. So Krishna is still delayed with Brahma and Shiva." But instead of being proud that her son had such dignified contacts, such high contacts, we say in English, high-end contacts, Mother Yashoda did not appreciate the devatas. In fact, she called them cruel because Krishna needed to come home and be washed and then get something to eat, but now he was upheld. So anyways, you can see the feverish expectation of Mother Yashoda. So when Krishna finally came, he looked at Mother Yashoda and said, "Mother, aham atra, I'm here." And these two words, three words, "I am here" or "aham atra," gave so much joy to Mother Yashoda. It was the fulfillment of many, many hours of desperately waiting for Syam Sundara to come back. So in this way, Krishna merged or sunk in an ocean of the love of his parents. The son, however, who was also now sinking into an ocean, this was an observation of the demigoddesses, was not sinking in an ocean of love. The sun was only sinking in a saltwater ocean, which was salty and tasteless. So in this way, the sun had not such good fortune as Krishna. And there in the saltwater ocean, under the water, the sun did penance and austerities so that it would become qualified to hopefully have the darshan of Krishna the next morning once again. So, yes, in the meantime, Srimati Radharani was at home. She had a severe condition. The Sakis said to each other, bring cooling camphor. That's the only thing which helps now. Others said, no, sandalwood. Bring both. And the fragrant Ushira grass must be brought in. And these plants who grow in the cooling water, like water lilies and lotuses, and we must apply them. Can't you see? Our Swamini's body is burning in the heat of separation from Krishna. So, at this moment, when there was really no help, nothing was there to relieve Radharani, she said, oh, Sakis, my life ends. I'm too long separated from Krishna. Sakis, when I die, please take the black mud of the Jamuna, smear it over my body, and then write the name Syam, Syam, Syam. And don't forget, I will now die, but I leave something behind. Once when I was with my Lord, we went to the forest of Vrindavan and we planted a little creeper which we put around the black tamal tree. This creeper had yellow flowers and it was put around the black stem to be together. This creeper, give this creeper water so that it may not die. Now this is poetic language. We know the tamal tree represents Krishna and the creeper with yellow flowers, Radha. So give that Radha creeper water that she may not die. Now at exactly this moment, a small little Manjari made herself known to Lalita. It was Tulasi Manjari who unexpectedly arrived from Nandagram. And she spoke to Lalita, I have news. Lalita said, come immediately. It's the last minute. You can save our Swamini from dying. So Tulasi Manjari came. She had the medicine. She sprinkled very carefully, first of all, softly, the drops of nectar in the form of Krishna Lila into Radha's ears. And this Krishna Kato revived Srimati Radharani. She got up hastily and said, Oh, Saki Tulasi, today my desert-like ears who were being consumed in the fire of separation have become fortunate by experiencing an unprecedented shower of nectar in my dream that cooled me off and made me happy. See, Radha was in a fainting condition. So she said, in a dream I heard some nectar which cooled me off, cooled the heat and made me happy. My dear devotees, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the songs of the gopis, we hear that here, Tavakatamritam means those who talk about the pastimes of Lord Krishna are the true welfare workers, because with this katha they can relieve us from the burning pangs of the threefold miseries. See, the associates of Krishna feel the pangs of separation so strong that they are suffering the heat of separation. But we here in the world also suffer from the heat of the threefold miseries. Our bodies, our relationships with others, and all these difficult circumstances, like winter is coming, it is getting cold. These are giving miseries constantly. But amazingly, the medicine is the same. Just like those who are suffering from separation are cured by hearing about Krishna, we who are suffering from the miseries are cured by hearing about Krishna's pastimes. And therefore, these great devotees who come and who have explained the Leelas to us, like Krishna Das, Kaviraj Goswami, and then in the Sampradaya, down to Srila Prabhupada, who have come, they are relieving us. And in the months of Kartik, let us sprinkle our nectar and let us sprinkle our dried up hearts with the nectar of Krishna Katha. More tomorrow. Hare Krishna.